We turn in the Holy Scriptures this morning to the Gospel according to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're going to begin our reading at verse 26 and continue through verse 51. John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do, that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." We read the Holy Word of God that far. The text we consider this morning is verse 35, where our Lord Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Let's ask God's blessing on the reading of his word and the preaching of it. Our God and Father, we give thanks to thee for these words of Christ. words of comfort, words of life and salvation. We pray, O God, that Thou would richly bless the reading of that word and now the preaching of that word unto us this morning, that we might be renewed and reinvigorated in our faith, that we might be among those who are drawn to Christ by Thee. And we pray that Thou would receive glory in that work of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the immediate context of the passage that we read, our Lord Jesus has just done an extraordinary miracle, a miracle that would increase His fame among the Jews far and wide, and a miracle that has given Him great fame already today and down through the ages. Jesus had fed a crowd of thousands of people with just 5 little loaves of bread and 2 little fish. He did that on the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee. And when He did that, the people were so amazed that they wanted to take hold of Him and force Him to be their king. So Jesus withdrew Himself from them. He withdrew and He crossed back over the Sea of Galilee from the northeast shore to the northwest shore, and He went back to the city of Capernaum with His disciples. The next day, the people recognized that Jesus was gone, and they wondered where He went, and they realized He must have crossed over the sea. So they also crossed over the sea and followed Him to Capernaum. So Jesus saw the same people that He fed in the city of Capernaum the next day, and He took the opportunity to teach them in the synagogue. That was when and where the dialogue between Jesus and the Jews of our text took place. So Jesus is in the synagogue of Capernaum with a congregation of the Jews who had just been fed. And Jesus says to them, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." Jesus knew that these Jews were coming to Him, following Him, because they were looking for and desiring and yearning after more of that bread which Jesus had miraculously given to them. They wanted that kind of bread that would nourish their physical bodies, and they cherished the thought in their hearts of a king who would be able to give them a steady supply of that kind of bread. They were laboring, they were seeking after the meat which perisheth. And Jesus said, don't do that. He said, rather seek for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give unto you. The Jews responded to that by asking Jesus what we must do. What must we do then that we might work the work of God? What must we do that we might have this bread that nourishes to everlasting life? And Jesus simply said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Christ. That you believe in Him whom God has sent. And then the Jews responded and said, well, what sign can you give us that we might believe in you? Just as Moses in the wilderness, he gave our fathers manna from heaven. What sign do you perform that we may believe in you? And Jesus said, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father. And my Father is also the one who gives the true bread from heaven. The bread that gives everlasting life to those who eat it. And the Jews responded to that in verse 34, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They liked the idea of that. The idea of some kind of wonder bread that will nourish their bodies and give them health and strength so that they can continue to live on the earth. Evermore, Lord, give us that bread. But Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whosoever cometh to me shall never hunger. Whosoever believeth in me shall never thirst. I call your attention to the bread of life this morning. We notice, first of all, what Jesus claims about himself in the text. In the second place, how one eats this bread. And then finally, the promise to those who eat. Jesus makes an extraordinary claim in our text that we must not miss. Jesus, standing there in the synagogue of Capernaum that day and preaching to the Jews, says to them, I am the bread of God that came down from heaven to give life to the world. Now that is an extraordinary claim. The people had reminded Jesus of the manna that came down from heaven. They were thinking of the account in Exodus of that miracle that God performed through Moses when he rained down upon them the manna from heaven. And Jesus speaks of that, and he says, I am the true bread that comes down from heaven. And Jesus didn't simply mean by that, that just as God had given to his people the gracious gift of the manna in the wilderness to feed them, so also God had given to us as a gracious gift Jesus, the Messiah. But Jesus meant very literally that just as the manna had come from heaven down to the earth, so also he had come from heaven down to the earth. An extraordinary claim. Jesus was claiming to the Jews that day, the Jews who lived in the very same region of the world where he had been born and raised, that he had come down from heaven, and that therefore he had been in heaven before he had been on earth, that he had been in heaven before he was born of his mother in Bethlehem. Therefore, Jesus was claiming not that he was an angel who was in heaven that came down to the earth, but Jesus was claiming that he was the God of heaven himself. He was saying to the Jews, I am the God who inhabits the heavenly realm. I am Jehovah of hosts who sits on the throne of heaven, and I have come down from heaven to this earth. I am the bread of God who has come from heaven to give life to the world. And we know that the Jews understood what he meant very clearly because it says in verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They murmured against him for that. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I am come down from heaven? We know this Jesus. We know his parents. We know his brothers and sisters. We know where he was raised over there in Nazareth down the road. How is it that he is saying to us that he came down from heaven? He thinks that he is God, the God of heaven and earth, come down to the earth into human flesh. The Jews knew very well that this was a blasphemous claim. And indeed, it is a blasphemous claim for any mere man to say that he came down from heaven to give life to the world. Talk about delusions of grandeur. Talk about narcissism. To say and to think that you are the one that all the world needs. You are the one who alone can give life to the world. And then to actually say it and preach it. That's what Jesus was doing. And indeed, it would have been the grossest of blasphemy if it was not true. But the Jews should have known that it must have been true. They had just eaten the wonder, miraculous bread on the other side of the sea. They had just seen with their own eyes how Jesus took 5 little loaves of bread and broke it and distributed it to thousands and thousands of people, and the bread multiplied. And those two little fish. Jesus lays emphasis on his claim to be God in the text, in the original Greek. The original Greek text lays all of the emphasis on those two words, I am. Jesus was saying with all emphasis, I am the bread of life. Not just, I am the bread of life, but I am the bread of life. Jesus was drawing consciously a connection back to the account of Moses before the burning bush. When Jehovah of hosts spoke to Moses from the bush and said to him, this is my name, I am that I am. Go and tell the children of Israel that I am hath sent you. Jesus comes and now says, I am the bread of life. Jehovah of hosts is the bread of life, and I am that bread of life. I am Jehovah of hosts. Come down from my heavenly heights into this earth to give life unto the world. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. The people had followed Jesus to Capernaum that day because they were laboring for the bread which perishes. They were looking for the kind of bread that Jesus had just given to them the previous day. The kind of bread that is baked from flour, that is made from the grains of the earth, that is grown in the fields of the earth. The kind of bread that you cut off a slice and you lift it to your mouth, you take a bite, you chew it, it tastes so good. And you swallow it into your stomach, into your belly, and it nourishes and satisfies your hunger for a little while. They were looking for more of that bread. They were imagining a world in which they would have a king who was able by his miraculous power to give them a steady supply of that bread so that they would never have to be anxious anymore about what they would eat or what they would drink. And evermore, Lord, give us that bread which nourishes unto everlasting life. Are you telling us that you will give us a kind of bread that has some kind of miraculous powers of vitalization that when we eat it, it will somehow give our bodies an extra supernatural strength so that we will be able to maintain health and strength and live here on the earth forever and ever and ever, evermore? Give us that bread. We are not so different from them, are we? The human heart has cherished the thought of everlasting life on this earth from that time until this day. The idea that I would be able to nourish and strengthen my body with some kind of wonder bread, some kind of miracle drug, some kind of miracle diet that would extend my life and keep extending it and extending it so that I could live in good health and good strength to eat bread, drink wine, and enjoy all the pleasures of this life. That's what they were looking for. But Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. I am. I am the bread that you need. I am the only bread that can give you everlasting life. I am the one you need. I am. You need me, me, me. Jesus is saying by that to them and to us, there is not a wonder bread in all of the world. There is no miracle drug. There is no special diet. There is nothing in this world that can give you what you truly need because you are sinners. You are sinners who do not deserve to live. And therefore you can eat all you want. You can do all that you want to try to extend your life. But you don't deserve to live.
You deserve to die. You deserve to perish forever in hell. What you need is not the kind of bread that is baked from the grains of the earth, that good, tasty, satisfying slice of bread. You need me.
The bread of God who has come down from heaven to give life to the world. I am the bread of life.
Why is Jesus the bread of life? Why do we need Jesus in order to have everlasting life? Because Jesus is who He said He was. He is Jehovah of hosts, the God who alone can accomplish salvation for sinners. He is the God who has come down from heaven to do just that. He has come into our human flesh, and among mankind, Jesus is the only man who does not deserve to die. He was the only man in all of the history of the world who is not worthy of death. He deserves to live. He deserved to keep on living, to keep on eating bread and drinking wine and enjoying this life and celebrating in good health and strength forever and ever on this earth. But He denied Himself His right. He gave up that right. And He laid down His life. He laid down His life for sinners. And He died for sinners who are not able to pay for their own sins. He did not come into this world to feed Himself and enjoy Himself and celebrate all of the treasures and pleasures of this world. The devil tempted Him in the wilderness. When He was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came to Him and said, "If You are the Son of God, then why don't You just take those stones and change them into bread? Why don't You just do a miracle and eat bread and satisfy your hunger and make more bread from stones and feed the people so that they will like You and they will make You your king? And you can live forever on the earth. You just keep doing miracles and extending your life."
Jesus resisted that temptation
because He did not come into this world to feed Himself. He came into this world to give Himself, to give up His life, to become the bread of life for sinners.
Jesus, therefore, went to the cross.
And at the cross, He gave up His life. He gave His body to be broken like the bread we're about to break. He gave His body to be broken and, as it were, baked in the oven of the wrath of God against our sins. And that's what He did there at the cross. He gave Himself to be baked in the fires of God's indignation and hot wrath against our sins. He did that. He did that for us sinners, so that we wouldn't have to. And when the bread was perfectly and thoroughly baked, when it was finished, He gave up the ghost.
And He arose from the dead.
He is our bread of life, who alone can give everlasting life, because He alone has earned it through His death and resurrection.
But how can one eat this bread? Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whosoever cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst."
When you are hungry, you go to the pantry in the kitchen, you open it up and you might find a loaf of bread there, take it out, take a slice of bread and spread something on that bread, and then lift it to your mouth and take a bite and chew it and swallow it. And we call that activity eating. And if you're thirsty, you might go to the refrigerator, open it up and take out a jug of something cold and refreshing and pour it into a glass and lift that glass to your lips and pour it down your throat. And we call that activity drinking. Jesus says that you have to eat me. You have to eat my body and you have to drink my blood. He says later on in the chapter in verses 48 through 51, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews murmured about that too. What? We have to eat your flesh? We have to drink your blood? What are you talking about? But Jesus doubled down in verses 53 through 55. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. What is Jesus talking about? Even his disciples were confused. Lord, what do you mean? And Jesus had to tell them, don't you understand? It's not the flesh that quickeneth, but the Spirit. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. Jesus has explained to us exactly what he means when he says, I am the bread of life. You must eat me. What he means is, you must come to me and you must believe on me. Do you? Have you? Have you come to Jesus? Have you believed on Jesus? Have you put your trust in Jesus as your bread of life? I ask you in all seriousness, do you feel in your heart and soul that you are a needy sinner, a miserable, poor, wretched sinner who is absolutely unable to do anything to save yourself, to accomplish your own righteousness, to obtain that everlasting life for yourself, to somehow work the works of God so that you can obtain that eternal life? Do you feel, as you go on your journey through life, how desperate of a condition you are in? As a human being, a fallen, sinful human being in this world, who's going down this path of life that ends in death, and that you're going to die, maybe sooner than you think. Do you feel your need for Jesus? Jesus then says to you, come to me and believe on me. And when Jesus says that, what he means is don't go anywhere else. Don't go to him. Don't go to that God. Don't go to yourself. Don't trust in yourself. Don't look to your own works, your own achievements. Come to me. Believe on me. Put your trust in me. Jesus means, believe me when I tell you that I am the bread of God come down from heaven. Believe me that I'm no blasphemer. Believe me that I'm no arrogant man. Believe me that I am the true and living Jehovah of hosts come down into your flesh to give life to the world. Believe that claim. But don't just believe my claim. Come to me and take hold of me and believe on me and trust in me as your only help, your only hope, your only salvation in life and in death. Believe and you have eaten. And the promise is then for you. the promise that Jesus says that he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, who is that promise for? Well, Jesus goes on to say in the subsequent context that many of these Jews did not believe in him, but that all whom the Father hath given to him will come to him, and those who come to him he will not cast out. And he goes on to say that no man can come to him unless the Father who has sent him would draw him. So the promise is for those who come to Jesus, and those who come to Jesus are those who have been drawn to Jesus, and those who have been drawn to Jesus are those who have been given to Jesus before the foundation of the world. He says the promise is for you. You will never hunger and you will never thirst. That's the promise of the gospel. The promise of the gospel is that whosoever believeth in Christ crucified shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The promise of the gospel, as he puts it in our text, is that you will never hunger and you will never thirst. When you go to your pantry and take that bread and eat it, and it fills up your stomach, you feel satisfied. You don't feel hungry anymore. But later on, you do feel hungry again. So you eat again. And then you don't feel hungry anymore. But then you feel hungry again later on. So you eat again. And this goes on every day of our lives, day after day after day, until we get to the end of our life. And then it might be that we get a sickness or a disease and we no longer feel hungry anymore. And our body rejects that food and we don't want to eat that food and we die. We must pass through death. Jesus reminded the Jews about that wonder bread that God gave them in the wilderness, the manna. Remember? Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. Where are they? They're all dead. But this is my promise to you. Whoever comes to me and whoever believes on me shall never hunger again and shall never thirst again. He means by that those who come to Jesus and by faith lay hold upon him and trust in him, they find the deepest possible satisfaction in their souls and life and in death and for all eternity. Their hunger is filled. Their thirst is quenched for all eternity. And he means that I will take you through death into glory. I will take you through the grave into the resurrection of the body. I will take you into the new heavens and the new earth. And you will never go hungry again. You will never languish from thirst again. You will be filled. You will be satisfied in God, in your relationship and fellowship with God, and that forever, forever and ever. That's the promise. What a marvelous promise. What a marvelous Savior. Let us eat and drink. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks to Thee for the promise of the gospel to us weary, sinful pilgrims. Oh, how we need that blessed promise. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt now strengthen us by the sacrament, that we may see with our eyes and taste with our mouths those visible signs and seals that our Lord has given His body to be broken for us and His blood to be shed, that we might live. In Jesus' name.